morning. This morning I would like to welcome Elizabeth Cleland with us again, and nice to see Audrey back from her holidays. I hope she had a lovely time. And we've also got two children who are ringing the bell today. It was Marley and Frankie. Welcome to the church. We have a postcard today from Lynn, Graham, Jack and Ewan, and they were in Ibiza, and they had a lovely holiday in Ibiza. Weather very warm and hotel beautiful. The boys are spending most of the time in the splash pool cooling down. And I don't think there's any other intimations unless anybody has some. So, welcome.
Frustrations. We have come to the brink of eternity. Of our churning world, we can meet the unchanging God and know his peace. So let us worship God. We sing our first hymn together. Come and find the quiet centre in the crowded life we lead.
And so let us pray. Loving God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us here this morning on this your day, a day that is set apart to worship, a day that is set apart to come together as the body of Christ in this place. And we thank you that we can come to you just as we are. You know each one of us inside and out, and we don't ever have to hide anything from you, because you are our Heavenly Father, you are our Creator, and you love each one of us. You look upon us with the Father's delight, and so we do praise you this morning. We thank you that you love us much.
He gave us a model to We thank you that he died on the cross that our sins might be forgiven, and that every morning we might
know your
mercies are new and fresh. We thank you that you sent your
Holy Spirit to tend to us, to minister to us. And we thank you for his presence here today, gently moving among us, gently moving here to guide
us and here even to challenge us. And so, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are glad to be here this day.
We know that our lives are not perfect. They never will be. And so we simply come before you to ask forgiveness for all the times we've failed this last week, for all the times we've let other people down. Father, we confess our sins before you now. We praise you and we thank you that even as we confess our sins, we are forgiven. That when we open our eyes again, it's with a clean sheet and a fresh start. So bless this time that we are together. Bless your people gathered here. And hear us as we pray the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, my apologies, when I was sending off the order of service, I've put in an all-age talk, and there isn't one this week. So we go straight to our next hymn, hymn 755, Be Still and Know That I Am God. And we have our first reading this morning, Psalm 23.
First reading this morning is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Psalm 23, one of the most familiar passages in Scripture. Words that have brought comfort to so many people down through the years. And when I was in parish ministry, I don't think a week went past when I wasn't singing Psalm 23 or reading the words of Psalm 23, most often heard at funeral services. But it's not just a psalm for funeral services. It's a psalm that speaks to us in our life, in our lives. Not just for death or grief or comfort, but a wonderful psalm of encouragement. And I just love that part that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." He makes me lie down in green pastures. Wonderful words of encouragement in a busy life. I want to just lead you in a little meditation this morning, one that I often use with people or when they come to Brayhead House. So many people arrive at the house absolutely exhausted at the end of their tether. And I often read this little meditation with people just to help them to try to settle a wee bit. So whatever else has been going on in your lives this morning before you come out to church, just take a few moments to be still and know that I am God. This sanctuary is a safe place. It's a place of refuge. It's a place where we can come and be, not do, be. Here is the place with its stillness. And now is the time where there is calm. This is a quiet oasis of a place where we can, for a while, leave the busyness of living to one side. Leave behind the stress that often we know only too well. This is a precious time. For God knows each one of us very well. He is aware of every last one of our personal anxieties, the things that occupy our thinking or disturb our equilibrium, the obstacles and barriers that detract from life and living. Here is the place, and now is the time. Christ stands among us, and peace is on his mind. Here is the place, and now is the time. Christ stands among us, and peace is on his mind. Peace, be still, says Jesus. Peace, be still. I am the one who calls you my friend. And so we can tell him our most pressing concerns, knowing that he will listen carefully to us. I am the one whose love never fails. I am with you always, even if you forget about me. You can depend on me, for I am faithful. You can trust me, for I refuse to leave your side. I love you. I love you. We can trust what the Lord says. We can leave the future in God's hands. Lord, give us the faith to live from day to day. The future is your gift. And so, Holy Jesus, merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, help us to see you more clearly, to love you more dearly, and to follow you more nearly, day after day after day. I once had a funeral service. It was in Kirkmuir Hill Church, and we read the Psalm 23. And then we had a 4.5-hour journey from the church away up north of Scotland, where the lady was to have her resting place. We drove and we drove and we drove, and we came up a very long hill, where we were able to look right down the valley to a beautiful green area. The hearse drove down, 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 and I realized that we were coming into farmland, past a few big barns, and I noticed in the fields, just beside where the lady was to be laid to rest, in the tiniest of cemeteries, were sheep and lambs. And as we were lowering the coffin, they were all baaing away. And it just felt to me like I was living in the midst of Psalm 23 and the beauty of that green place with a river just in the distance. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack for nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. And there was a shepherd standing, looking over the fence that day, two sheepdogs at his feet. And I spoke to him a wee while and I said, "What's your dog's names?" He said, "Well, this one's name is Grace, and this one's name is Mercy. And when I send Grace out up the field, Mercy is sure to follow." And I was thinking, oh, it's the psalm. I'm living this psalm this day in that quiet place. It's a psalm for the living. It's a psalm for the loving. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's just sing the words of the psalm. Hymn number 16. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. reading for today.
The second reading for today is from Mark 6, reading from verse 30 to verse 32. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Get some rest in a solitary place. Amen.
Come away with me to a quiet place and get some rest. You can see a theme coming through the service today, can't you? Peace, rest, refreshing, renewal. You may have heard the story about some Westerners who hired a few bushman guides to help them travel through the Kalahari Desert. Not being used to moving at the pace of their employers, the bushmen suddenly sat down to rest. And no amount of persuasion could induce them to continue the journey until they were ready. The reason for this much-needed rest, the bushmen explained, was that they had to wait for their souls to catch up. Indigenous peoples often have an innate awareness of the need to honour the natural pace and rhythm of their lives. The Bushmen wanted to create a breathing space for the soul. The Kalahari Bushmen call this ancient knowing the tapping of the heart. Many people can relate to this, I'm sure. Many people are in desperate need of a breathing space for the soul. For so many people, days are frenetic, frantic, filled with activity. And although some of this activity is nourishing and replenishing, some of it also can be draining and numbing. And all of this takes its toll on our very being. And if the work-rest is not balanced, our health can be affected. Said we see this time and again at Brayhead House, people arriving stressed, drained and exhausted, needing space to rest and recover. And can I say that many of them who come are servants of the Lord? Church people, ministers, pastors, servants of the Lord. And we hear the words of Jesus, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I love that translation of this passage in the Message. It says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Well, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn from me the unforced rhythms of grace." Are you tired? Are you worn out? Listen to the words of Jesus. "Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Come with me to a quiet place by yourselves and get some rest. Beautiful invitations, the words of Jesus. He himself was a model for us in the work, rest, balance of life. How often we read in the Gospels of how he took time to go away and spend time with his Father, resting and praying. Often early in the morning, taking time to set the day ahead of himself in prayer, or before making difficult decisions, or before performing some miracles, he stopped, took time to pray, took time to be still, to seek his Father's rest and refreshing. In that short couple of verses we heard in Mark's Gospel, just before that, the disciples had returned to Jesus, returned after their first mission. He'd sent them out to do his work. And they came back and they were excited. They wanted to share with Jesus all the things that they had seen, all the things that they had done. They were on a real spiritual high. And Jesus might have taken advantage of this and sent them straight out to do more work. But he didn't. What he said to them was, come away with me now to a quiet place and get some rest. Sure, it would only be a short wee space with the Lord, because as the boat reached the other side, the crowds were already waiting. But here is the model for our life, the words of Jesus. Come to me, and I will give you rest. You know, in 2001, I was in my probationary year at Callander Kirk. And it was the year when the Church Without Walls report was being presented to the General Assembly. And when I first read this report, I was so excited. It felt like dynamite in my hands when I read all the things that they were proposing for the church to move forward. And I go back to it time and time again because it contains so many gems. And I just want to read to you a part of the report. It's in the third section, and it's speaking about changing attitudes and lifestyles. And it says, the heart of reform is the reform of the heart. The first proposal for reform is a call to prayer. People at prayer will be people who learn to live within the purposes of God with patient hope. If God be long in coming, so be it. If God comes quickly, we will be the more ready to welcome him and the future he brings. Praying people recognize our daily dependence on the Holy Spirit. A call to prayer is a call to praise, confession, repentance, meditation, and intercession. A call to prayer is a call to the eye, to look at things with faith